right, turn to Hebrews chapter 3, if you would. I think I counted a total of like 9 extra minutes that Brother Buddy and Brother Scott gave up. I don't know if I'm allowed to acquire those or not, but I'm going to assume not for now. Hebrews chapter 3, I was hoping for a yes, go ahead, but that didn't happen. So Hebrews chapter 3, being verses 7 down through verse 13 tonight. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through with the deceitfulness of sin." I feel like this message picks up where Brother Buddy left off. It'd be the next point in his message if he had longer to go. So I think the Lord works that out well. It gives me confidence to know absolutely that I am preaching what the Lord has for me. You start off chapter 3, and Paul here, we're going to assume Paul's the writer of Hebrews. Please don't chastise me if I am wrong on that, but I believe most people think Paul was the writer of Hebrews, so I'm going to defer to that tonight. So Paul here in chapter 3, in the first few verses, 1 through 6, is saying, he's talking about Christ and how that Christ was faithful in all that he did. And he was the faithful one. He came and he did all that God had for him. And then he asks us as Christians, he says, "Consider also Moses." And talking about what Brother Buddy was talking about and how that he was faithful in all that God had for him. And then he goes on to talk about Christians using Christ and Moses both as their examples in this life, with Christ being the one upon which we are built, obviously, and being our chief example. But then he gets to verse 7 and he says, he adds this wherefore in there. And this wherefore means for that reason. He says, okay, so first of all, I want you to consider Christ and I want you to consider Moses and how that they were faithful in doing everything that God the Father wanted them to do. And then he says, wherefore, for that reason, I want you to take note of something. And what he wants us to take note of is what we read starting in verse 7 tonight. And what he's talking about in verse 7, when he's talking about in the day of provocation, is the story of the 12 spies. And he says, don't be like the 12 spies who refused to go into the land of Canaan. And Paul urges us to be like Christ and to be like Moses, but then he warns us to refrain from being like those, the children of Israel, and following the 12 spies who went into the Canaan land and refused to go. And the story of the 12 spies, the account of the 12 spies going into Israel, I think is familiar to all of us. We know that the children of Israel were promised the land of Canaan. It was promised to Abraham, and Abraham would not see that promise, and that promise would go on to Isaac, and then it would go on to Jacob, and Jacob would have his 12 sons, and those 12 sons and Jacob and their families, they would go into Egypt to seek some They're going into Egypt to get away from the famine that's in the land where they are staying. So they go there and they stay in Egypt and they're fed and they're nourished and they outstay their welcome. And the Egyptians become scared of them and they're placed into slavery and they're held in bondage. But throughout all of this, they know one thing. They know that God has promised them through Abraham that they would receive this promised land, this land that belongs to Canaan at this time. They know this promise, they have this promise, and then God delivers them from Egypt. And from Egypt, they go on their way. They're in the wilderness for a couple years, and they make their way to the city, to basically the border of the Canaan land. And God says, before they cross in, I want you to take 12 of your leaders, one from each tribe, and I want you to send them in to the Canaan land, and I want you to have them search out the land of Canaan to see what is there. And they're standing there at the doorstep. They're ready to go in. And in Numbers chapter 13, the Bible tells us that they were to go in and they were to see the condition of the land. They were to look at the goods of the land. They were to see the cities and they were to see the people that dwelt therein. And God sent them into that land so that they could be encouraged. He wanted them to see the fruit of the land. He wanted them to see the people of the land that God would deliver into their hands. He wanted them to see the cities that they would make fall. But these 12 spies, they go in, and 10 of them only see the bad. They go in, and instead of seeing what God has promised them, Instead of looking around and seeing these walled cities, as they say, you know, my God said that's going to fall. They don't see the giants and say, my God said he's going to deliver them into our hands. They don't say, look at all this food, it's so great. They do bring back some grapes, but they said, the land is one that consumes the people. It's a very hard land to work, they say. And that's what they see, and they see all that, and they go in, and it's like they're looking for a battle plan. They're seeing something there, and they're thinking, God sent us in here, and we're supposed to look for this, and that's not what they're seeing. God gave them this land. He says it's yours. All they have to do is take this promise, and God sends him in. He says, check this out. Look at this. I want you to see what great things I'm going to do for you. And they come back, and that's not what they say, and that's not what they saw. They saw a land that was going to consume them. They saw a people that they were going to have to fight, and they were scared, and they didn't want to go in, and they didn't want to do it. So these 12 spies, they came back, and 10 of them gave this report to Moses and to all the people, and they said, basically, they said, yes, the land is very fruitful, just like God said. But they said, there's also a large number of people. There's the Anakims that live there, and the Amalekites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Canaanites. And they say, oh, and by the way, the Anakims are giants. We look like grasshoppers in their sights. And if they saw us, they would think we were grasshoppers. And he said, the land is too difficult for us. It's a land that consumes the inhabitants. The people all live in walled cities. And what they are is they are terrified of going into this land. God has promised it to them. It is there. It's there for the taking. But they refuse to want to go in, and because of that, they go to the people, they tell the people this, and they make the people scared, and the people are persuaded by the 10 spies with the bad report more than they are by the 2 spies with the good report. And I believe we know absolutely this passage tonight, this Hebrews chapter 3, is talking about this time, because we see there in our passage that we read tonight that they weren't going to enter into his rest, and it talks about the 40 years, and when we look at Numbers 14:30, this is what the Bible tells us about them. God saying, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. And then in Numbers 14:33, he says, after the number of days in which ye search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, ye shall bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. So we see very much that this is the event Paul's talking about. So Paul has said, you've seen Christ and you saw how he was faithful in everything he did. And he's our chief example. You see Moses, if you want another example, how that he followed God in everything he did. He was faithful to serve him with what he had, how he could, just like Brother Buddy preached a moment ago. But then he says, beware, don't do this. Don't be like these Israelites who saw the land that was promised to them, but when they saw challenges presented, they refused to go in and they turned away from his plan. And that's what we see in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 again. It says, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. God said that these individuals had seen him. They had heard him. These individuals would be individuals who had heard the very voice of God as God spoke to Moses on the top of Mount Sinai. They would have heard that happen. They would have seen Moses on top of the mountain with the lightnings and the thunderings and all the great things God did. They saw God do the events that Brother Buddy was talking about. Smite the rock and water came out. They saw him defeat the Amalekites. They saw him do miracle after miracle after miracle. And God was very patient with them, and he lovingly led them to the very doorstep of the Canaan land. But now when it comes to the very point where they have to consider God's will, and they have to see this land, and they see the challenges it presents, they consider it. They start thinking about it, and it's time to make that decision about whether they are going to in fact serve God or they are not. And they decide to reject God. They decide to walk away from the promises of God, and they're standing on its very doorstep. And because of that, God says, they shall not enter into my rest. These people are going to be condemned to wander the deserts and the wilderness of the land out and about around Canaan, but not going into Canaan for 40 years until all of those of a certain age and upward will die. They knew what God wanted for them. They knew what God expected from them. And they knew it was God's promise. They've seen him work over and over and over again. And for some reason, they just refuse to take it to heart, and they won't go into this land. And because of that, they can't enter into God's rest. And now as we get to Hebrews here, Paul's talking about this account. And he makes it clear that there's one reason that they refuse to enter in. It says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, "Take heed, my brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." The people were doomed to wander the desert for 40 years because they had an evil heart of unbelief. They couldn't enter into God's rest because they didn't believe that God would do it enough to where they would follow him. We're in the first few days of, or the first day, the first hours of the year of 2017. And as Brother Buddy said, the New Year's resolution has never been used as an example. So we're going to use one tonight. A great many people in here are going to make some sort of New Year's resolution this year, this day probably. Maybe they did yesterday. Some are going to be silly. Some are going to be serious. People are going to make goals. They're going to create plans. They're going to have ideas of what they want to do this year. And so one of the big goals every year is to get in better shape. I know that's a shock to everybody. So say you decide that you want this thing. You want to get in better shape this year. And you decide you're going to accomplish this goal by running. And you know that running is possible because you've seen other people run. It has happened before. You know this thing is possible. You also know it's possible because God gave you two healthy legs, and you can breathe without too much distress when you walk up a flight of stairs. And maybe you did what all these commercials tell you to do when you see a treadmill for sale. They say, consult your doctor to see if you're healthy enough to get in shape, which makes no sense to me. If you're not healthy enough to get in shape, you should probably get in shape so you're healthy enough to. But anyway, so you did this. You went to the doctor, and you saw if you were healthy enough to get healthy, just like you're supposed to do. And then you probably went out and you bought some new running shoes. You probably bought a cool new running outfit so you look good while you're running. Maybe you even bought a watch so that you can see how fast you're running and watch your times progress. You do these various things. You start getting really committed. I'm going to start running. It's January 1st, but it's Sunday. You know, I'm not going to run today. It's the Lord's Day, so I'm going to take today off. We'll start on Monday because you don't want to start too soon in your commitments. But you have this goal. You know there's this benefit out there. It's proven there's this benefit out there. You have everything it takes, but you never actually start running and getting in shape until you take that first step. That was the problem with the Israelites. They had everything they needed. They knew the benefits that were there. They could see what God promised them. The land was literally right in front of them. 12 of their people were on the other side of the border. They knew it's there. They knew it had its promises. They had everything they needed because they had God, but they refused to take that first step. And I think that's the truth of a great deal of unsaved people in our world today. They've heard about Jesus Christ. They know what he did for them on the cross. They probably felt some conviction, but they refused to take the step of faith and accept him as their Savior. But oftentimes, we as Christians aren't any different. We know that God has something for us, and we know we can only obtain it, however, if we're going to stop holding on to something. There's something in our lives that we don't want to get rid of, or perhaps we're very comfortable in our lives and we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. So we refuse to take that first step. We have a knowledge, we have a head knowledge of what we should do. We have the Bible, we hear preaching, we read our Bible, we know God's promises are true, we've accepted his Son as our Savior, but we don't really want to put ourselves out there and take that extra step to do more for him. To be more pointed about it, perhaps we know something that God has something for us very specifically, but we failed to take that first step in our lives. Perhaps pastor's been preaching in 2016 and you were convicted about reading your Bible and you dedicated to reading your Bible, but you never took that first step to start reading it. Perhaps you told God, I'm going to stop missing church services. Perhaps you promised God that you're going to start going on visitation and telling other people about Christ, and you went once or twice, but you stopped going. Perhaps you surrendered to God's will in whatever area of your life. It's between you and the Lord, but perhaps you've never yet started acting. Many Christians are failing in their Christian lives because they will never step out and take that first step and actually follow God. And because they don't follow God, they're never going to enter into his rest. He has this place of rest for you, these blessings for you, these benefits for you. And we will never know these blessings if we are too scared to actually take the first step and live for him. We want to hold on to the sins we're engaging in, or we want to stay in our comfort zone. We want to do what feels good or what feels comfortable, or to where we're not rocking the boat, to where people aren't making fun of us, or whatever the case may be. We don't want to give up our personal time. Whatever it is, we're holding on to something that's keeping us from stepping into action and doing the will of God. And God is pleading with us here in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take heed, brethren. Christian, listen up. Listen. He says, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. When you don't show your belief in God by being willing to take that first step and get into action, he says you are departing from the living God. He says, pay attention. Do this. Don't fall into the trap of never giving in to serving God. Don't fall into that refusal, as Israel did, to take the first step, to go out and defeat the enemy. Rather, as in, he says in verse 7, he says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. God, through Paul, is saying, you've seen what God can do. You've heard what he can do. He's told you to do something. He's asked you to do something. He's pleaded with you. And he's saying, now, don't have a hard heart. Don't be so wrapped up in yourself that you're unwilling to step forward and serve God. If the Lord tarries, if he allows, in 2017, I think each one of us have a great many things that we plan on doing, from going to work, to going to school, to accomplishing things. But God wants us to be his faithful servant this year. He has stuff for us to do. He wants us to fulfill his will this year, and that goes beyond listening to the preaching of pastor. It goes beyond doing your daily devotions. It requires you to accept his will for your life and make it more than a mental exercise. Apply it to your life and step out and start serving God. This year and in our lives, let's follow the example of Christ and live a life that is faithful to God. Don't be like Israel when they refused to enter into the promised land. When you hear God in your life, when you know his will, step into action so that you can enter into his rest.